Morning. It is great to see you this morning. I am Rick Morgan. I lead worship here at Fairlawn. If you're not familiar with who I am, Pastor Jason and Carmen and Taylor are in Florida. Everybody go, oh, yeah, nice warm weather, sunshine, warm weather, beach, warm weather. Anyway, they are supposed to be down there until Thursday. Just remember them in prayer. He had the honor of officiating at the wedding of a relative down there yesterday. And so they've been having a good time. I've been keeping in contact with them. So anyway, take your bulletins. Take a lot. There is a lot going on this week. If you take a look at the upcoming, you're going to see a ton of stuff. Extended care. You guys are having a meeting today at 4:30 here at the church, so make sure you're here. Choir is at 5. Puppets are at 5:30. A lot going on here today. Sam, that's our senior adult ministry. They've got a meeting Thursday. Make sure you take a look at the time. Friday night at Lubeck Civic Center, there is a sock hop. And so if you'd like to come partake of that, that would be a great thing to do. They're going to have a lot of fun. The youth are having a lock-in here at the church Friday night. Be in prayer for Mark and Amber. Sorry. I used to work with the youth here. The operative word in that, or two words, is used to. Anyway, men's prayer breakfast the next morning on Saturday. We're having a pastor, March is Pastor Wife Appreciation Month. And so if you'd like to give a card or something like that to Carmen, we're going to have a basket out at the Welcome Center. And the 24th at the dinner that we're having after service, where the sportsman's thanking everybody for all their help with the sportsman's banquet and all that, we're going to give those to Carmen. So make sure that you get those in, all right? Annie Armstrong, it is that time of year. You're going to see another missionary clip during the offering. We're at $962. We're still short of our goal. Be in prayer on what you can do with that, all right, and be there. Just that money stays within North America, okay, and supports our missionaries. Locally, it helps support our state staff and all that as well. So it provides a lot for us. And actually, if it wasn't for Annie Armstrong, Fair Lawn Baptist Church would not be here, because that's where a lot of our funds came from when we started out as a church. So it plays an integral part in church plants and all that. So be in prayer on how you can do that. Next week, Jason is starting his sermon series. There's a little blurb in the bulletin about the I Am series. Make sure you take a look at that. We've got an Easter egg hunt coming up, and we need candy because we're going to sugar these kids up and then send them home. Jason will never leave me up here again. So anyway, folks, just bring candy in, all right? Sam's great. But if you can't go get it yourself, you can bring in, and we'll send somebody to go get candy. We'll get that taken care of for you if you can't do that, all right? And we have a couple that's celebrating something special today. 57 years of marriage. When I saw Jim Leach walk in this morning, Mark, I thought you'd been replaced, brother, because I don't know the last time I saw this guy in a suit. So Jim and Alice are celebrating 57 years of marriage today. So let's... Wow. Yeah, no, that's the way they make it work. She's sitting back there, he's up here. So, woo! All right. Hey, listen, today we have the privilege and honor of having Mark Dennis with us today. He'll be providing the sermon for us. He brought his wife along with him. You're working with the youth group down at Calvary Baptist in Ravenswood. He is a Parkersburg South graduate, knows my sister, and he still came. So anyway, and some of y'all may know him from when you, 85 was when he graduated. So anyway, some of y'all may remember him. If so, don't hold anything, all right? You're not responsible now, all right, brother? You have been covered by the blood. All right, so great day to be in the house of the Lord. We've got a lot going on today, but you know what? There's probably a lot going on in your lives today as well. And what we're going to do here in just a minute, we're going to stand, we're going to do our reading, and then we're going to pray. And part of that prayer is going to be, God, help us to shut down what's going on in our heads right now so that we can focus on you and give back to you a little while. And you know what? When we get something out of the sermon, when he speaks to us, that is icing on the cake, folks, because our next hour, hour and a half, is all about him. Amen? Amen. Let's stand. We'll do our responsive reading this morning. The question is what does God require in the 9th and 10th commandments? And we read together, 9th, that we do not lie or deceive but speak the truth in love. 10th, that we are content, not envying anyone or resenting what God has given them or us. And you can find this, James 2:8, if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You are doing well. Tonight, Virgil will be sharing a little bit deeper in that this evening at our 6:30 service, all right? So plan to be here for that, all right? Let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much for today. And Father, like I just said, there is a lot going on in each one of our lives. Father, we don't know what the person standing beside of us has brought into worship this morning that could be troubling them. Or Father, maybe it's even great things. But Father, right now, we want to take time to just focus on you. And Father, to worship and praise you through the songs we're getting ready to sing. And then Father, through the study of your word this morning as Mark brings it. And Father, I just want to lift him up this morning as he has stepped into our pulpit. And Father, I just pray that you would that your spirit would talk to him this morning. And Father, just lead him into what you want him to give to us today. Father, once again, we thank you. Our prayer is also that if there's someone here that has never accepted that gift of love that you have for them through your son who you sent on the cross to die for our sins, Father, that today would be the day that they would do that. Father, we thank you. We love you. Father, we pray for our pastor as well as he's away. Father, we just pray that you would just continue to just give his family a great time together as they're getting together with some of the others that they haven't seen for a while. And Father, we just pray that you would just continue to lead him as he leads us. Father, once again, we thank you so much for today, and we thank you for your love. And Father, once again, help us to give back to you today. In your name we pray. Amen. If you would just take a couple minutes, welcome each other this morning.
Lift your name on high. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now saved am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. All my heart to Him I give, ever to Him I'll cling. In His blessed presence live, ever His praises sing. Love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best songs. Faithful, loving service to Him belongs. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Souls in danger, look above. Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by His love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea. Billows His will obey. He, your Savior, wants to be saved today. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me.
Is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' blood and righteousness. I cannot trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, we made strong in the same. Darkness seems to hide His face. I rest on His unchanging grace. In
Savior's love through the storm. He is Lord, Lord of all. He is Lord, Lord of all. Christ in the Savior's love, through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. Christ alone, cornerstone, we came strong in the Savior's love.
Shall come with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. Christ alone, the Savior's love through the storm. He is Lord, Lord of all. Christ alone, cornerstone, we face strong in the Savior's love through the
promise. Amen. Amen. Virgil, if you'll go ahead and come on up. Virgil's going to be our deacon of the week and ushers, if you'd go ahead and come on down for our morning offering.
Good morning. In the bulletin, my name is correct, but my phone number's wrong. If you call the church office, though, they'll get a hold of me, for sure. So if you need something, I'll be glad to assist you this week. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, God, that we can come here and meet together as born-again believers, God. We pray that You'll hear us this morning and bless us. We thank You for Your word, and we pray, God, as it's preached, that we will realize, God, it's Your word for us. Help us to listen well and help us to live by it. We thank You, God, as we've seen people saved last week. God, we look forward to seeing that again today. Thank You, Lord, for blessing our lives. And as we worship You, as we give our tithes and offerings and gifts, I'd pray, God, that You'd bless it as we use it to work and go and win people around the world. Thank You, God, for all that You do. We pray in Christ's name and amen.
Miami is this beautiful, complex collision of cultures and stories and life. There's just no other place like it. When we moved from Atlanta here to plant the church, we didn't know what we were going to experience.
But at the same time, the promise of what God could do here was something I was like, okay, Lord, only You can do that.
From the 60s to mid 80s, Miami experienced transition spiritually, socially, economically. The church started leaving.
truth started leaving too. And that escape left a sour taste in the mouth of a lot of people in South Florida. The need for not a church, but multiple churches coming together to seek the well-being of the city, that people would fall in love with Jesus, is great. Where we are is on the east side of town, and so it's Little Haiti. It's a community in transition. There's this artistic vibe, but at the same time, you have people who are extremely poor. It makes living here beautiful, but challenging to some degree.
When you walk into our church, we're singing the same exact song in multiple languages. And people in our church are saying, thank you for singing in that language. That's my heart's language. That's the language that I dream in. And you walk into our church, it is amazing that there's Bolivians and Peruvians and Colombians and Venezuelans sitting on the same row.
There's an international route here that you're just not going to escape. When you give to the Annie Armstrong Easter Offering, you are helping to shape South Florida with the gospel. You are literally also shaping the world, because this area doesn't just touch this area, it touches different parts of the globe. Jesus brings all of those pieces together, all of those stories, all of the people into a new family.
And to see God provide things that I didn't even know that I needed, I still am amazed that he's providing the way he has.
Just the red light. Okay, there we go. There we go. What a blessing it is to be here this morning. I appreciate Pastor Jason giving me the opportunity to come and speak this morning. Already started bawling a little bit ago. I saw an old friend of mine I haven't seen probably since, it's probably been 30 years. Probably been 30 years. Played football with him at South, and just good to see him. First and foremost, it's good to see him in church. Just to start out a little bit, I've been friends with Pastor Jason for a while. Recently just ordained last year, and he was part of my ordination service. And out of the, I think we had five pastors there, he hammered me the hardest. Literally asked me questions for a half hour straight, which I'm not disappointed in, because a lot of the problems today is we don't test the pastors. We throw, and you can see through the law of the gospel that's being preached today, that you really wonder if a lot of people have been called to preach. There's a lot of false stuff being preach today, but another thing I wanted to mention was I was able to come down here for the annual convention, West Virginia State Convention, and I wanted to tell you all what a wonderful job. I've been to a lot of them, but you all did a fantastic job with the convention, and the hospitality was great. And, I mean, you made everybody feel at home, and, I mean, what a blessing it was. If you would, open your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. I kind of feel like we've already started off on the message this morning, because one of my favorite topics, which I believe is the most important topic to preach on, is love. You know, without love, we don't have anything. And, you know, and even there's a lot of music out there today that when it's sang, it's, I don't know, There's a lot of good contemporary music out there today, but there's a lot of stuff that's got a lot of the world in it, And a lot of this, all this music this morning just blessed my heart. Used to be a TV show on, I don't know if you remember it or not, Art Linkletter had a program years ago where he interviewed kids. And it said, kids say the darndest things, I think is what it was. And he interviewed the young generation. You know, there was a lot of fun and what was said and everything. But the generation of today, it I think it'd be kind of scary of what some of them would say. Because I know since I went to school, a lot of the same stuff is still prominent and everything, but the generation that our kids are growing up in today, it's scary. I have a son that's 20, well, he'll be 23 this month, and then I have a daughter that's 20, and my fear is for their kids in the generation we're growing up in. And, you know, if he could interview them, ask this generation, what is love? Do you think we would get any kind of biblical view out of it? No. Love today is pronounced on TV. There's always a sexual innuendo about it. You know, it's this little fuzzy feeling that we have. You know, there's no godly part to love. Because we're losing a generation, and we may have already lost one. I know my son's generation, before I started my journey in ministry here, we were at Miller Wells Baptist Church, and I took care of the youth there. And even back then, as he was coming through, there's just so much out there that it's hard to pull them back in, because generally our kids see a lot more of the world than they see of us, especially if they're involved in athletics and things of the world. At school, you know, they hear things, do things that to be a part of the crowd. Love is one of the most common, yet most misused, misunderstood words in our language. If we read a book, it's usually a romance book. It, usually in the romance book, like I said, we're talking about sexual innuendos. We talk about, like on TV, programs, commercials, audiences. You can even call in places and get a love connection. That's where we're searching for love. That's where the world today is searching for love. Every Christian, even Christians, have a very fuzzy gap of the meaning of love. The lyrics, like I said earlier, to a lot of our contemporary songs, they're not Bible-based. They're not faith-based. It's talking, you could take it one way or the other. They don't use scripture in the songs. One of my favorite groups, and I'll just say something right off the bat. I keep my notes because I tend to chase rabbits. So this helps keep me on track. Now, if my own church, I can chase rabbits, and generally I can get them right back into the hole at the end. But when I'm out like this, who knows where I'm going to go. So I got to keep myself on track, or my wife Terry's here, and she keeps me in line. But a lot of the lyrics, the biblical definitions that they described, there's no biblical meaning to the songs. Like I said, one of my favorite groups is Casting Crowns. And I don't know how many of you all know who they are or whatever. But they use biblical terms. They use real life situations and they bring it into the Bible. The lead singer, of course, the lead singer, he's actually a youth pastor. I don't know if he still is, but he used to be a youth pastor. But he uses the Bible, uses real life situations that speak to you, which is so important to me. Love is a subject of vital importance. Not only because of the fuzzy ideas about what love really is, but because love is a matter of the highest priority. And of course we see in 1 Corinthians 13:13, which is one of my favorite verses, but now abide in faith and hope. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Love is greater than our faith. Love is greater than our hope. Love is eternal. Love is eternal. Why is love eternal? What's the definition of love? God. God is eternal. God is our greatest definition of love because God is love. God is love. Because that which God has promised cannot presently be seen, faith and hope are necessary in our life. We need faith and hope to survive our Christian walk. But when the perfect comes, when Jesus comes, when our Lord returns, and we are living eternally in His presence, we will no longer need faith. We will no longer need hope because we'll be living with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our hope will be fulfilled. Our love for Him, however, will last for an eternity, inspiring our worship, service in His presence. Now, the context of the scripture that we're going to be in today, I always kind of like to try to give a background for where this scripture, the time and place, and what it's talking about, and where we're at. Paul focused our attention on chapters 1 through 11 on the mercies of God, which provide a basis for motivation for the Christian conduct. In chapters 12 through 15, Paul describes the kind of behavior which the grace of God enables us to expect. Verses 1 and 2 of chapter 12 are generally called to offer up our bodies as a living sacrifice to God through our life service. We're supposed to give up everything we have for Him, whatever it takes, whatever God wants us to give up. Give up the things of the world. Our first priority is God. Now, does that mean that we're supposed to go out and sell everything we got? For some, yeah. There are some who are called to do that. There are missionaries going out every day overseas that are asked to give up everything that they have to serve Him. But that's not what He calls all of us. There's little things. We're all called to a different calling. Paul focuses our attention to the behavior of grace of God enables us to expect. Verses 1 and 2, like I said, are about the living sacrifices. The exercise of the spiritual gifts is spoken in 3 through 8. As one dimension of our sacrifice. Now, verses 9 through 12, Paul describes a sacrificial walk in love. We are now demonstrated love towards the brethren in verses 9 through 13. It's what we're going to be talking about today. Our love towards each other as Christians, as the body of Christ, as brothers and sisters in Christ. In verses 14 through 21 is outside the faith. But today we want to focus on us as a body. And you think it would be easy. A bunch of Christians get together, and we shouldn't have any trouble loving each other. Well, I've come to find in my walk that sometimes that's probably a little harder than maybe loving other people sometimes. Just because of our own, maybe it be arrogance, maybe it be our own spirituality that we think that maybe we know more theologically. And don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with education and furthering your knowledge of God and everything that goes along with that. But first and foremost is our personal relationship with God. Our personal relationship with God. Second of all is loving others. Loving others. And our verse that we've kind of become our verse at church down at Calvary is love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, love your neighbors yourself. And you can go through any sermon, you can go through any scripture in the Bible, everything comes back to that. If you can't do that, we can't do anything. If we can't love each other, if we can't love each other as brothers and sisters, if we can't love the world, love the people of the world without falling into the traps of the world and trying to bring people to Christ, it's all for naught. It's all for naught. It means nothing. I'll go ahead and read the scripture here. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. And we're starting in verse 9. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Let's pray. Father, we come to you today, dear Lord. What a blessing it is, and thank you for the opportunity to come here to Fairlawn and bring your words this morning, Father. Father, I ask that you be with each and every one of us as we come before you at the throne this morning, dear Lord. And I ask you to be with me, dear Lord, that you will give me the words to say, Father, that in some way may touch somebody's heart. Dear Lord, Father, I ask that you be with all of us, that you give us the ears to hear, Father, and understand that every message that is preached, if it's from God, it's for everybody, Father. It's for everybody. And Father, most importantly, if there be somebody here this morning that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, we pray today that they will trust in you and your saving grace. And it's in Jesus' name I pray, and amen. Love's relationship to the righteous. Verse 9, love is genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Christian love is something like a battery. You've got positive terminal and you got a negative terminal. But you got to have both of them to work together. In biblical thinking, love cannot be separated from hate. Love is a choice. Love is a decision. It's a decision to choose one thing and reject the other. Jacob could not love both Leah and Rachel. He had to love one and to hate the other. So to do so, to we can only serve, like Jesus says in Matthew 6:24, we can only serve one master. We can't serve two masters. Inevitably, we have to serve love and not serve hate. Our love towards Christians is both a response to God's love and a reflection of his love. Our Lord's love was a far cry from the hypocritical love that the Pharisees of all his day. The Pharisees were more about what you can do. There was no love in the Pharisees. They spoke of good. In practice, they did what was evil. While our Lord's love prompted him to receive sinners and suffer and die for their salvation, it also manifested itself in a strong reaction to evil. Jesus wanted no association with evil, and thus even forbade the evil spirits from proclaiming that he was the promised Messiah. There are Christians today who urge us to emphasize on God's love. This we should do. But if we are to proclaim God's love, we must distinguish between good and evil. The love of God is that which clings to the good and abhors the evil, abhors the evil. The love of God cannot and does not overlook sin, nor the judgment which it deserves and requires. If we would speak more of God's love, we must speak more of good than of evil. Rebuke and discipline are not a violation of love, but a manifestation of love. Love acts in accordance with righteousness. Good and evil. We must speak more of good and evil. Rebuke and discipline are not a violation of love. Sometimes as Christians, rebuke's a pretty strong word, but it does tell us, you know, we're to rebuke some Christians and everything. But what that means is you're rebuking them in love. So if I'm going down the wrong path, if I'm making a choice that I shouldn't make, should everybody just be all lovey-dovey with me and just let it go and put their arm around me? No. You're to come to me and tell me I'm doing wrong. Now, it's not coming to me and say, if you don't do this right, you're going to go to hell. No. You go to them in love. It's all a part of the whole thing. We need to be able to tell somebody in love when they're going down the wrong path, when they're struggling in their life, when there's problems and maybe they're not seeing of themselves that they're doing. The hardest person to look at, it's easy to look at everybody else and point fingers that you're doing wrong and you're doing wrong. The hardest person to always look at yourself. Look at yourself and see what you're doing wrong, because we don't always see a path or maybe something that's going to put us down the wrong path. Maybe we're straying a little bit. And that's the most important thing. First and foremost, we always need Christ in our lives. We always need to follow God's lead. But secondly, we've got to have brothers and sisters in Christ that we can lean on, that we can share to, that you can say anything to them. You can rebuke, which is, like I said, it's a rough word. But we need to be able to tell them, hey, you're really kind of going down the wrong path here. This might be the wrong decision. And that's why these verses here are about us as a body, us as a Christian body. how we should act towards others who are Christians. Because without each other, it's pretty lonely sometimes. And granted, don't ever get me wrong, Christ is most important. Christ is the only one who will always be there for you through the thick and thin. But our brothers and sisters in Christ, our church body, and that means everybody together, need to love each other. True love. And that love can only come from Christ. That love can only come through the Holy Spirit. Just like forgiveness. You cannot forgive anybody without the help of the Holy Spirit. You can't do it on your own. But love is the most important thing in our Christian walk. Love is the most important thing. Whether it be towards our own brothers and sisters in here, or the drunk or the person struggles with drugs out on the street. But if we proclaim God's love, we must distinguish between good and evil. The love of God is the love which cling to good and evil, abhors evil. We've got to disdain, we've got to hate evil. What's evil? Anything that's contrary to the Word of God. An example I like to give is evil. A lot of times it's basically anything that just stirs you up and makes you angry. One of the things that gets me is watching the news. We need to know what's going on in the world. I like to know what's going on in the world to see if what's going on with the Scripture and the Bible, you know, anything else has come to pass. But if I turn on CNN, Fox News, or whatever, and it's tearing me up and I'm getting mad about it, and I'm calling my buddy up saying, did you see what they did? What's that doing? Satan's got you. He's got you mad. He's got you mad. If another person, maybe they're not saved, is making you mad and getting you angry, getting under your skin, what do you need to do? Well, you need to love them. But if you can't control that, get away from it. Get away from the evil. Because now more than any time in my life, there's evil everywhere. There's evil everywhere. Get away from it. If you're not strong enough in your Christian walk, and there's nothing wrong with that, if you haven't got that closeness with God where you can handle it, get away from it. But what would be awesome is if you had a brother and sister or sister that you could go talk to that would basically just tell you to say the same thing I said. That's why the brothers and sisters are there. They can tell you or help you with that, that what you're struggling with. But go and pray. Prayer is another important thing too. If it's making you mad, stop and pray about it. There's no evil in God. If it's evil, God's not in it. And believe me, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. Verse 10, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo the other, showing honor. Paul's words here speak of brotherly love. Love expressed to one another among Christians. Of all the love mentioned in the New Testament, love for the brethren is one of the most prominent examples. And there's many examples. There's examples in John 13, Romans 13, 1 Peter 1. The love marks us apart as disciples of the Lord. That's what makes us different. That's the difference we want people to see in us. When we're at work, and let's just say we're hammering a nail, we whack our finger. Now, is it going to hurt? Yeah. Are you going to start whipping out a bunch of profanity? Or are you just going to, you may scream, you may yell from the pain, but you may put your head down and pray about it. It's how you carry yourself in bad situations. It's how we show people that we're set apart. Well, how somebody's staring at you, and I don't know, I always have a target. Anywhere I've ever worked, people know. I worked at a sawmill for 20 years. I worked at a water department. I've delivered appliances, drove truck. But I don't know what it is about me, but people know they can stir me up. You know, just get me wound up about something. Probably even clear back when we played football, people knew they could stir me up. But it's just, it's not like I'm stirred up and cussing and everything else. It just gets me wound up about something. But being able to control that, and when something bad happens, you're praising God for it. You're praising God in the bad times. You're not reacting to what's happened. But as Christians, when we can do that, that's what draws people. What's so different? Why didn't that bother you? God just opened the door. God just opened the door. It's my relationship with Jesus Christ. And either they'll turn around and walk away, or, well, who is this Jesus? But it's so important for us to get away from the evil. If you can't handle it yet, if your sanctification walk hasn't strengthened you enough to that point in your walk with Christ, get away from it. I was, and some of you may know me, I was director over to Latrobe Street Mission for a little while. And did ministry over there. And when I left there, I mean, I was ready to leave. It's tough because you're right on the front lines every day. Because if you look in the Bible, where was Jesus all the time all the time through the Bible? He was with the ones who were less fortunate. He's with the ones who were hungry, were thirsty. He were the one was with the ones that were struggling. He was with the ones that were sick. And you're right there with them every day. It's a battle. But God showed me through that and strengthened me through that to look at everybody a little bit different. There was evil all around. Now, when I first started, I couldn't handle it, but I was strengthened through it and was able to help through it. God will put you in situations, and sometimes you think you can't handle them, but he's putting you in them situations not so you'll look at the situation, it's because you'll look to him. You'll look to him for that help. Christian love, by its very nature, subordinates the interests of love to those of the one loved. In Paul's own words, love is to give preference to one another. Love isn't about ourselves. Yes, we're supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves, but love is about the other person. And that's so important. As Christians, that's so important in the church, because you find out once you get into ministry, ministry's messy. It's messy. Ministry is hard because you're battling against evil. Ministry is hard. But as soon as we can figure out that it's not about us, it's about that other person. And I'm speaking even in the church. You walk by somebody in the church in the morning, and you can tell when you're around, because a lot of you are around each other more than you're around your regular family. You spend a lot of time here doing ministry for the church. You know when something's bothering somebody. So do you just walk by because, well, I've had a bad day and I don't really want to talk? No. Your problems, put them aside. We look to the other person. That's what Christians do. Not just for each other, for others, but you spend more time with people in your own congregation a lot of the time than you do with your own family or anybody else when you're doing ministry. Because ministry is tough. I don't care what kind of ministry it's tough. But we're here to lift each other up. We're here to lift each other up. And that's what these verses are about. These few verses here are about us who are saved, who about the church, about the body, about how we need to treat each other, how we need to act toward each other, how we need to lift each other up. This preference to others has boundaries. Preference, according to Paul, is to be given to others in such a realm of honor. Give preference to one another in honor. Self-esteem. To lift others' self-esteem. And it's just like everything else. And it's like, and I a lot of times I use sports as a way to get stuff across in sports. You see a lot of parents on the sideline. I coached my daughter in softball for probably 10 years. The hardest people to deal with were the parents. Now, I'm sure a lot of you, if you've done that. But the thing is encouraging that child. And it's the same way in the church. You're encouraging that child. But there's a point to where encouragement and just giving them a trophy because they did something, there's a difference there. Encouragement is trying to make them better at what they do. Encouragement, and it goes into the adulthood, encouraging somebody in the church. We all need a little encouragement sometimes. We all need a little encouragement. Maybe something didn't work too good. You can still go encourage somebody. As suggested, there are limits to what Paul's saying. Giving honor to others means that we seek the best interest of others in love. But this does not mean that our love always takes the form that others may wish or even accept. Sometimes brothers and sisters in Christ will expect, even demand, what is evil or what is detrimental to their spiritual growth. Sometimes a brother and sister may wish to be affirmed, encouraged, when he needs to be rebuked in love. Love does not always give the other what he or she wants, but rather the best. There is a higher price to pay when our love takes unwelcome form. There's encouragement, and then maybe there's something that they need to be discouraged from doing. You can encourage people to do better, but there's a point to where if they don't stop doing what they're doing, they're going to go down the wrong path, just like we talked earlier. You know, there's a fine line between a lot of this. It's not all good, 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 good. Sometimes we have to stop it. Maybe what they did was a good job, but they did it an evil way. Maybe they cheated to do this. They got the job done, but they were dishonest the way they did it. So there's a discouragement part of it. Love one another means serving others ahead of oneself. Everybody ought to come before us. Everybody ought to come before us. We ought to let the problems of others and reaching out to others and loving others, which we spoke of before. A lot of this is entangling. A lot of it is the same thing. The verses kind of intertwined together here. Ministering to one individual could also hinder the ministry to a larger number of people. Spending time with one individual may prevent from devoting himself to a broader ministry. That's where pastors and deacons sometimes may have a little problem with. We're spending so much time trying to help this one person, we're not still reaching out to everybody. It's easy to do because there's so much out there. There's so many people that need encouragement. There's so many people that need help. There's so many people that just need somebody to talk to. The most valuable thing you've got is your time. But you got to know how to budget that time and how to use that time to help everybody and not like you're being preferential to one person. It's for you want to be there for everybody. And you can overload yourself. And you want to watch that too and burn yourself out. And also we see that love entangles a spirit of subordination, promoting servanthood to serve service to one another. Verse 11. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. And this just kind of came to my head. Love as the cure for laziness. Do not be slothful. And I can say that I struggle with it. I think everybody struggles with it. Sometimes we just don't want to do it. Sometimes we see something. I was talking to a brother a little while ago. When I used to see, before I got in the homeless ministry, when I used to see somebody walking down the road and maybe they were talking to themselves. Maybe they were begging for money. First thing running in my head, and this is before pre-salvation, you bum. Why don't you go get a job? You know, quit being so lazy. But as a Christian, the laziness is us not going and saying, can we help you? Because there's other ways you can help somebody besides throwing them dollar bills. You can give them gift certificates. You can give them sick. You can say, hey. And one thing I've done is let's go over here to Burger King and have a Big Mac. Then you can kind of weigh where they're at. Because a lot of them will say, no. But there's ways that you can minister to others and not be lazy and look past the problem and try to help somebody. That's the extreme. And we see it every day. But we can become lazy as Christians. And the laziness is walking by that person who you see struggling, who you know is having a bad day, and not saying, can I pray for you? Is that hard? Love energizes service to others. Love not only gives one a willing spirit to serve, but a fervent spirit to be diligently pursue the task of serving one another. You know, there's no greater feeling to know that God has used me to help somebody. That God has used me to help somebody. Not that I help somebody. God uses me. God uses you. If you're doing it for anything else but God, you're doing it for the wrong reason. But what a feeling that puts on your heart to to know that God used you to help somebody. And maybe it's just through a little conversation, a little bit of your time. Ministry's not easy. One need only look at the saints of old to discover the progress made seemingly painful, famously slow, and the God pursues. God's purposes are not achieved instantly. Very often, there's opposition to our ministry. On a few occasions, this may be through the direct satanic demonic activity. You got to be careful. You got to be careful before you get into something, before you get into a ministry, before you get into doing things. You need to pray. You need to be careful what you get into. You need to know that you're strong enough to handle this. It's just like, for instance, I was talking about the homeless person or whatever. Are you able to handle that? Now, God's not asking a lady to go get out of her car to a gentleman there and put herself in danger. It's come and go. You need to be careful what you're doing. I know maybe we're doing it out of the goodness of our heart, but there's danger involved. Very often, there is opposition to the ministry. On a few occasions, this may be through a direct satanic activity. Often occurs by means of human agents. Many times, our human opponents are unbelievers. But at the times, even our purpose of the brethren opposes or resistance our service. Sacrificially, service must not be motivated by love, but maintained by love. Love is never ending. We've always got to maintain the love, sometimes through the struggle. Sometimes it may start out, and I'm sure we have all people in our lives that the loving our neighbors, ourselves, is a tough thing. Well, you don't know my neighbor, how tough it is. And that's why it's got to be motivated by love. If it's not motivated by God, you're never going to be able to get to the point where you can love somebody. Sometimes it takes time. It takes time to get over that point of our thoughts of bitterness towards somebody or the struggle with our neighbor. Love handles hardship by focusing on hope. Verse 12. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, and constant in prayer. The staying power of love is closely related to constant companions, faith and hope. Here Paul emphasizes love endurance in the midst of adversity. Christian life is not all warm and fuzzy. And if anybody ever told you after you come to know the Lord that everything's going to be blissful and you're going to be financially blessed and everything's going to be okie dokie and fine and you've got it made, they're lying to you. It's hard. And it gets harder. The closer you get to the Lord, sometimes the harder it gets. The more you want to serve the Lord, the harder it gets. And always use the target. When you get saved, you end up with a target on your back. The closer you get to the Lord, that target gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And the errors keep coming and coming and coming and coming. How do you overcome that? Through your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Your strength that comes from the Lord. Your strength has to come from the Lord. And the sooner you can understand that, the easier it gets. Then you find out 2 years down the road, the person next door to you that aggravated you and that cussed all the time just rolls off your shoulder. It don't let that hair come flying up on the back of your neck. You're able to just talk to them in love. That's growing in Christ. That's growing in Christ. Ministry is a war. Our Christian walk is a war. We battle against powers and principalities. We battle Satan. And not to say anything, because I don't know any of you where you're at with the Lord, and only you and your heart know where you are with the Lord, whether you're saved, whether you're not. You're the only one that knows that. But if you're not battling, I'd go to prayer and find out where your relationship with God is. You're going to battle. It's a battle. Not to say there isn't great days when you're on a mountain, but there's a valley to come. There's always a valley. But that valley is going to strengthen you for the next one. Preservation and tribulation is accountable by rejoicing in hope. Paul speaks of the role of hope in a general way, but also in the form of personal testimony. And not only this, but we also exalt in tribulation, knowing that tribulation brings perseverance, and perseverance brings proven character. Proven character, hope. Hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has given it to us. If we know Christ as our Savior, through all the tribulation, through all the struggles that we have as a Christian body, there's always hope. Because guess what? Even if death comes to this mortal body, what's the hope? The hope is the eternity we spend with Jesus. We may think there's no hope, but there's always hope. Because one of these days, we're not going to have to deal with this world. One of these days, we're not going to have all the aches and pains. And a little side note, this has just been in my head all morning. Terry got me into this exercise thing. What do you call that thing? Temple Challenge. Now, I'm a 52-year-old fat boy. And I probably haven't exercised hard since I played football back in 85. And I've got a few health issues, and I got to get in shape. So I'm generally praying through the whole thing, just that God will see me through it. It may seem a little awkward what I'm saying, but through that, through losing some weight, maybe it'll help my sugar, maybe it'll help my blood pressure and all that. There's good that comes through that. But if I keel over and fall on the floor, guess what? There's good too. Because I'm not going to have to do this anymore. I'm going to be in heaven. But there's suffering through all we do as Christians. There's struggles that we do in Christians. And I'm not trying to sound all depressing and everything else, but through all these struggles we have together, and I say together, we have them together. You'll find that the guy next to you or the lady next to you may be struggling or has struggled with the same thing that you're going. That's why we're here as a body. That's what Paul is trying to tell us here as a body, of loving fervently, loving each other. That power of that word love, you'll find you love your neighbor, You're there for your neighbor. You do whatever you have to do to help your neighbor. Put your problems aside to help your neighbor, to help your brother in Christ. Because we're talking about brothers and sisters in Christ right here. We've got to be there for each other. You've got to be there for each other. Even if they're not saying anything, you get to know people enough that you know something's bothering them. And maybe they don't want any help. But I'll tell you what, you go up and tell somebody that I'm praying for you, they may not say something, but it makes them feel good. It makes them feel good down deep inside. The suffering Satan may be tempted to think God is far from him in all times of adversity. This is not the case. God is never more near us than in our trials. God is never more near us than in our trials. It is in our sufferings that we find a deeper fellowship with Christ than when we would have otherwise known. That's when we find out that maybe our neighbor isn't there for us, but we have a Savior that's always there for us. He is always there. He is right beside you. He's fighting that battle. And that's the key. Let him fight the battle. Let him fight the battle in your life. Don't try to fight it on your own. Throughout the Old Testament, all the warriors and a lot of the great men of the Old Testament, when they tried to go conquer the armies by themselves, what happened? They lost. Why? Because the Lord was not with them. When they let the Lord go before them, it was taken care of. And a lot of times they didn't have to do anything. The Lord was always with them. But you got to let him lead. Let your way in life be free from love, the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself said, I will never desert you, I will never forsake you. So that we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What shall man do to me? There's nothing in this world that can touch you. There's no Satan that can touch you. There's no man that can get to you. Unless you allow it. Unless you allow it to happen. You put Christ first. We put Christ first in our lives. We let Christ fight these battles that we're battling. And we're all struggling with something. We're all struggling with something, whether how big or small we may think it is. But when we let the Lord lead, when we get out of our way, we humble ourselves and let him take over, he'll take care of it. And it may not be the way we want it to. Well, that's not the way I really planned it. Sorry. It'll be for your good. It'll be for our good. In closing, I'm sorry if I've taken too long. The song with the words, what the world needs now is love, sweet love, is true. The world does need love. It needs the love of God. That love can be poured out in the person of Jesus Christ. Before you can ever be an instrument of God's love, you must first be a recipient of it. You got to be a recipient of the love. The love of God is not the kind of love men naturally desire. It's just not this little fuzzy feeling. It's not the talk of the sexual talk and all that, that's not the love of God. That's not the love of God. God's love, by definition, adheres to what is good and abhors what is evil. There's no evil in love. There's no evil in God. Many people want the kind of love who loves men in their sins, who accepts them just as they are. God cannot and does not, because his love is a righteous love. But in his love, God has provided a way for us to become holy and righteous, so that his love can be shed abroad in our hearts and lives and provide the person of Jesus Christ. He died in the sinner's place. Bearing the penalty for our sins, he offers us that righteousness which we can never achieve in ourselves. If you would receive the love of Christ, receive his righteousness in Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for another beautiful day that you've given us, dear Lord. And thank you again for the opportunity to come speak at this wonderful church. Thank you for the welcoming that Terry and I have received, dear Lord. And Father, I pray that your word this morning has not went out void, dear Lord, that whether somebody be struggling with anger, whether somebody is holding a grudge against somebody, whether it just be sickness, Father, let them know that you've got your loving arms around you, and only through you can they overcome, and we can overcome anything. Father, if there be somebody here this morning that has not received you, who has not trusted in your saving grace, we pray this morning will be the morning that they come to know you. And in each and everything we do, we won't forget to give you all the honor and the praise and then the glory. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
If you need to make a decision this morning, Clarence is going to be down front. The altar is open. These steps down here are a place where you can come pray if there's a need that you have.